If you'll repeat after me, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I need eyes to see,
ears to hear,
and a spirit to perceive
what you've prepared for me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to take you to 1 Corinthians. And I want to point out something that the Holy Spirit is in the process of bringing some clarity, because when we are baptized, we're baptized into the Spirit of our Savior, Jesus Christ. When the Israelites left Egypt, they all went through the water, which was a form of baptism. They didn't get wet, but they did go under the water, where the walls of water was on both sides, way over them, which was a picture of you and I going into the Jordan, or wherever you and I happen to be baptized, and we go under the water. And we're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yet some will say we're baptized into Him or into Christ. And so I kind of tightened up on the Lord and I said, you know, it would be nice to have clarity of what it means to be one in Christ. We recognize it in the bread. We recognize it in the blood. Do we really acknowledge what it means and how to bring clarity to that subject? And so I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And it's going to touch, hopefully, if you study the whole chapter, on life in the natural. But it's also a picture of the Spirit. So we're going to touch verse 16. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. Verse 17. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Now, you say, well, why are you bringing that up? Because we're not having sex tonight. Really? Are we not called the bride of Christ? If we're called the bride of Christ, we need to be able to see that he wants to work in us. And he wants to work through us. And he wants to put a deposit in us to bring new life to others. You say, well, no, that's kind of a sexual matter, and I don't think I wanted to hear that in church. Well, I'd say grow up. Okay? Because if St. Paul uses it as a means to awaken us, then we need to be able to say, okay, God, teach me. Amen? So I want to take you now to a few more scriptures that I pray will awaken you to what he's trying to say. Romans chapter 7, verse 4 says, so, Romans 7, verse 4, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. Not fruit for ourselves, but fruit for God. We talked earlier about how do we know if we obeyed the Lord? If we obeyed the Lord, the fruit will be not that I am so holy and so perfect. It's going to produce fruit for the Lord. And so if you look at this and it says, we died to the law through the body of Christ, that means we were shifted. When we were born again, we were shifted into a spiritual body, just like that loaf came from a whole different bunch of different little kernels of wheat. Yes? Mm-hmm. They had to be
cut, they had to be cleaned out, the shells had to be removed, they had to be what?
Ground.
I don't like when it's grinding me. Anybody ever feel that you're being... Yeah, then it's sifted. Anybody ever got shook?
He shakes us, right? Then, of all places, he puts us into the oven. Yeah. Let's go and look at what these pictures are really saying. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, I am jealous for you with a jealous, godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband, to Christ. Whoops. Is that a husband and wife? Yeah. I promise you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. Oh. Well, here we are now going to have intercourse in church.
Well, come on now. God is using intimacy to awaken us to something that he wants to give us an understanding. We are united together as one unit. And he is depositing seeds of life in us to bring life to others. So when we are the corporate Christ, we are not on our own. Earlier,
I had a vision when I was talking to Josh and we were praying together. And when Gary walked in, I saw him and I holding Joshua and putting him in the middle between us. And I didn't do it right away because it wasn't time. But later, I asked Joshua to come in the front with Gary. And that's what we did. We literally sandwiched him in between. And we held him as a picture of unity and harmony that could not be let go.
And I've done this with many others, so he's not the only person, I should say. But what it does is it gives you an impact that you are not alone, that the body of Christ is people working together for one heart.
And it's not your heart or mine. It's his heart. Amen? So I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, I promise you to one husband, to Christ. So the husband is Jesus himself, yes? So that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. So we are the bride.
Now I say, oh, well, I don't know if I like this idea.
It's just a little bit difficult to digest. Well, get used to it because the scripture's full of it. The scripture is full of trying to tell us how intimate he wants to be with us. 1 John 2:24. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. Woo!
I didn't write it. You deal with it. The corporate Son of God in the earth today is to get to maturity so that when we are completed in him, we will be able to carry out the commission no different than what Jesus carried out in his day just 2,000 years ago. You say, well, I don't see any evidence of it. I've seen samples. I was in Toronto when the Toronto blessing was poured out and people from all over the world were flying into Toronto just to be touched by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the impact was so intense, some people didn't get off the floor of that it was a huge, huge auditorium, okay? Thousands and thousands of people came in there, an airplane hangar. And thousands were changed. That was a sample. I was down in Florida with the Brownsville Blessings. My brother and his wife were down there. They went to school there. They became graduates of that school of ministry. And they are still now remembering some of the impact of what God did in them. And I remember going down there and saying, this is so, so neat. Where all the people were there with one purpose in heart. You'd come out at 3 o'clock in the morning and we'd go to the the other one. No, better than that. Krispy Kremes. And they were coming off of the conveyor belt. And you could just take one of those and they melted in your mouth at 3 a.m. And you know what? Some people were still so drunk in the spirit that they had a law in that city. Don't arrest them. Just tell them to park and wait till the drunk goes off. Go ahead. You laugh. I remember carrying people out of Grace Church at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I know we carried them out. They had no legs. They were that drunk. You say, well, wait a minute, it doesn't make sense. I remember going to Albany, New York. And we were two guys and four ladies. And I'm going to tattle on her because she's not here, but she can handle it. We had Judy Norwich's van. That's where we had all gone together. Judy was so drunk in the Lord that she could not walk. So we took us, three of us, to carry her from the entrance because we just literally tried to get her, but here her legs wouldn't function. They just wouldn't function. When we got to the van, there was no way she could sit in the car. She literally ended up on all fours. You had a sliding door. She ended up on all fours and fell on the floor of the van, and we just pulled her legs in, and she stayed there for I don't know how long. You say, well, when is that going to happen here? When he's ready. I remind you, he's the bridegroom. Are you really understanding what it's like to be one in him? I think we have samples to go by.
Those samples were seen not just in this country, but in different countries. You say, well, why isn't it happening now? Because he's getting you and me ready. Look at your neighbor, say, are you ready?
Are you ready?
If you are, it's okay. But if you're not, he'll get you ready. Amen? I'm going to take you a little deeper. Just a little, okay? John 14, verse 20. Now, I stress the fact that you're going to hear the first three words and let them digest a little bit. Because there's a day of the Lord that is in process, that has already begun. How many know that Jesus came as a baby and he grew up and it took 33 years before he went back to Papa? So when did the day of the Lord start? Was it the day Jesus was born and came into the earth? Or was it the day that he died and resurrected? The day he was released into the earth. You're absolutely right. Okay? Now, watch again. John 14, 20. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Period. On what day? On that day. That's the day of the Lord that he's talking about. Now, how many know a difference can be in the scriptures kind of duplicated? I believe the Lord was meaning it so that they would understand that the Holy Ghost was coming 50 days from them or so. Because that word was given just before he died. Okay? So he's talking to them about the day of Pentecost. Now, the day of Pentecost transformed how many people? 120. Yes? Mm-hmm.
They were radically changed. Radically changed. They were so drunk at 9 o'clock or so in the morning that they got accused of hitting the bottle. Did Judy Norrett hit the bottle in church? No. And I'm talking about her, and I'm sure she'll survive this. But I'm trying to tell you that that was an experience we had. I can't tell you how many others we carried out of church at Grace because the numbers are too great. You say, well, why isn't it like that again? What is he doing? He's preparing you. He's preparing you. He's interested in recreating what he had on Pentecost, but to a higher degree. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. John 17, 23. I in them, you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, and to let the world know that you sent me, and have loved them even as you have loved me. And it's confirmed in Romans 8, 10. I in them, you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. When a married couple becomes one, that marriage bed is the celebration that lasts for a week in Jewish history. They dedicated each other and prepared a season to get to know. And then the marriage vows were taken. Several months later, as the bridegroom had his house ready, he would come and pick up his bride and they would celebrate and they would inspect the bed linens. Why? They wanted to prove that they were man and wife and they were one. Why am I being so explicit? I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I'm trying to tell you that that's what he's looking for. He's looking for intimacy between you and him. And when he's finished, you will look like him, act like him, react like him, and do the works he did. Yet even greater because of the intensity of what he's about to do. You're catching on. So when you become one in him and him in you, then you will find the purpose of your life to a greater degree than anything else. Galatians 2:20. St. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. I think that's so self-explanatory. And what I'd like to do, I think you've got enough right now to ponder on. And to realize that this Thanksgiving season was dedicating this nation to the Lord. It started hundreds of years ago. It had a purpose that the United States of America would take time out once a year to thank God. For the harmony of the church is to expand in the earth, especially in the U.S. first. There's not very many nations in the earth that take a day to celebrate the Creator. So will you bow your heads, please? Say, Father, I want to understand. I want to comprehend this unity that you are after for me and the people in the church. The church that belongs to you. The one that is dedicated to do your work. To set the captives free. To heal the brokenhearted.
heal the brokenhearted.
And to release,
a
love flow
to the broken.
And grace forevermore.
And grace forevermore.
To all those that are searching for him.
To all those that are searching
for him. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Let it be a season in
thanksgiving. That it doesn't have to be done with words. But my example would touch the hearts
of those that are hurting.
In my family.
In this Thanksgiving season.
We are one, Lord.
We can say the words.
But now my actions want to match my words. And I can't do this on my own. So I'm looking for help, Holy Spirit.
Work through me.
And heal through me.
And
set the captives free through me.
Set the captives free.
Because we are one.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.